We've made a wrong turn, and now we're stuck in a game. The graphics are glitchy, and the murders feel way too real, and the Game Master, he's got a taste for blood. So grab your controller and watch your back, and join us as we escape this digital death trap. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not bad. Pretty good. Today on our episode, we're going in a little in this 90s nostalgia factor. I just like this movie's been on my brain for a while, so I'm just like, all right, let's just do it. Now I'm just like, whatever, let's just knock it out, because we're going to do a bunch of movies anyway eventually. So why not? So 1994's Brain Scan. But before we get into that, Courtney, anything interesting lately?
Let's see. When the last time we talked, what have I been diving into? Trying to think. Oh, I watched a Czech film called Little Odík.
I saw you post it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Give us the rundown.
So it's really, really simple narrative, or a simple plot, which I liked. It is a infertile couple that obviously they find out the bad news that they can't have a child. And so the woman is just definitely in a time of her life where she's very disappointed and sad. And so the dad, who's like one day out chopping wood, finds this little stump that kind of reminiscent of a baby. And so he brings it in thinking that it will like cheer her up. And she takes it like a little way too far, where she starts like, oh, this is our child. He wraps it in like baby clothes and starts like gets a little buggy carrier for it. And like the dad kind of goes along with it, because maybe he's like, at first he's like, I think she just needs this and he loves her. So he's like, I'm trying to support her and what she's going through. So he goes along with it, and then it just ends up going way too far, and this thing comes to life and starts basically needing to eat. And will, like, at first it's like, oh yeah, we just need to feed it baby food as much as possible, but then it starts to eat people.
There is like a little subgenre of like the, I don't know, baby surrogate changeling genre, where like, so, like, I know there was another one recently. I forgot if it was, like, a small town, but, or, like, a fishing village. And I heard this on another podcast, but they, like, yeah, like, this couple can't have a baby. Then they find this baby out in the ocean, and this baby has, like, maybe, like, magical powers or something like that, you know? Like, like they're able to, like, all of a sudden, like, the fishing is super abundant, and notice that people are like healing around this baby. And I know there's the other one where, what was the other one? I totally lost it. Oh, the Apple TV show, The Servant.
And that's M. Night Shyamalan. That's an M.
Yeah,
Night
Shyamalan. I don't know
Shyamalan.
If he produced it or if he directed it. I can't remember.
Right. His name's on it.
Yeah.
I remember I watched the first episode of that, and I just was really unsettled of the appearance of the fake baby. So I'm like, I can't.
I mean, the first, like so many other shows, like,
yeah,
so much mystery in the first season, and it just grips you, and you're just like, I want all the answers, and they give you the answers, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, okay, well,
I don't want to see how the sausage is made.
But like, truly what I enjoyed about this film, and I want to check out more of the director's other stuff, because some of the cool people up on TikTok who I was talking to were like, a lot of his films are really cool. And I'm like, because the first 30 minutes I thought were the most like intriguing of the whole thing. And I maybe it went on a little too long after that, but I think it's a good watch regardless. But he does so much like stop motion, specifically with the baby itself and the stump. And it's what makes it feel really unruly and eerie. And like it's fantastic. Like the guy does great work. And I would even relate it closely to like Eraserhead. So if you're a good fan, like a big fan of Eraserhead, watch this movie. Like it's weird.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Not bad. All right. I know I had something else that I was going to watch, I was going to mention to you, but I completely forgot. But the one I really wanted to touch base with you on is an update. Apparently our live track mode here or live sounds here. Doesn't include a little news update, but beep, 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 beep. We got a dumpster update. Yeah, yeah. So at the point of this recording, from the last recording, all of season one of Dexter Original Sin has dropped on Paramount or Showtime or whatever the fuck. And
I think Paramount Plus.
I saw the first episode. Kind of had me a little bit.
Okay.
I hate to say, but just because I feel like more Dexter, like it gave me the Dexter feels and it gave me a little of that nostalgia. So I was just like, okay, let's like watch another episode of Dexter. So I just like, it had me hooked in, you know?
That's what I keep hearing. I'm sorry. I don't have Paramount Plus, so I can't.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
It was only because the first episode was free on a lot of sites.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I think you had mentioned that, but I hadn't gotten around to it. But like, I needed a little bit of a Dexter fix the other day. So I just was like randomly watching season three. And I was like, I told myself, I'm like, there is other Dexter to be watching.
There, I mean, and there's news. Apparently, Kristen Ritter is joining the new season of, what is it? I don't know what the new season of Resurrection, right? That's what it was.
Original Sin? No, wait.
No, she's joining the sequel.
Resurrection, yes.
Resurrection.
Yes.
And guess what? Original Sin ties into Resurrection. So I don't know if Original Sin is just going to be like a one-off season.
Maybe. Or
like they're going to go because they are giving you answers for Resurrection. And that's the only the first episode, which is just like, okay. And then, of course, the whole thing's voiced over. Like we said, it was all going to be voiced over by Michael C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall needs his paycheck. And I'm proud of him for that.
Hey, you know, like, why not? I mean, he's only got to do the voiceover.
Really appreciate him. He knows the fans love him. He came back. He's like, I'm here for it. Like, I'm Dexter. This is my thing.
My only gripe. All right, first, not before that. Christian Slater thought killed it as Dexter's dad, Harry Morgan. The sister, Deborah Morgan, like the girl who plays her, is really spot on as far as like mimicking the other actress' performance.
Jennifer something is the other actress who is the original Deb. But yes, as like the swearing, I know I've caught clips of it, of like the attitude, and I'm like, she does do a really great job.
It's kind of funny. It's just really, like, I guess all you had to do is just curse a bunch. I guess you're fine.
Which is, I mean, that is Dev's character.
But the gripe was just like who are the two characters? Masuka and the other police officer.
Angel?
Angel, thank you. They look like they're wearing costumes of those characters almost, where it's just like, especially the Angel character. I'm like, really, dude? Like,
fedora and like a Hawaiian shirt.
You nailed it. I'm like, but you're maybe 25. I'm like, dude, like, come on. Like,
you wouldn't be wearing that yet. That's later Angel.
Yeah, so it looks like a costume of that person. So it's just like, but we gotta know it's Angel, right? All right, whatever. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, oh sure. Like, of course you know he's always wearing a fedora and Hawaiian shirt or bowling shirt.
I mean, Courtney, could you say like 20 years or like whatever, 15 years ago, you were wearing the exact same clothes you were wearing? Like you just nailed your look now.
Yeah. Courtney, 19-year-old Courtney, definitely.
And also, like, was he always, and it's also, he's already a detective in this. So it's not like he's in his blues or anything like that.
Which,
he's just like, weird.
Okay, maybe.
How long has he been detective
for? He was detective for a long time then, because in season three, he becomes sergeant.
Yeah.
Season three of original Dexter, he becomes sergeant. So he was detective for a long fucking time. He just walked into that station and was like, I'm a detective.
I love it. I love the nerdy now. I love how he's like, well, in season three, he becomes sergeant.
He does. Yeah, he finally becomes sergeant.
I don't fucking know. The only, yeah.
You know, so I know all of the original Dexter.
Fair. It did make me want to watch all the rest of or at least in the next few episodes. The guy plays Dexter. Fine. You know, I already forgot his name, but whatever. Yeah, maybe I'll give it a watch. Give it a watch.
Okay. Why not? Okay. I will get to it. I promise you I will get to it. As a Dexter fan, I owe it to see what it's about.
Yeah, so like it's, and I think it'd be smart if that's how they're feeding it to you, like, oh, this is just an addition to what we are going to be bringing you. So this coincides with this is, I don't want to spoil it, but it's like he's seen his whole life flash before his eyes, because this begins with the ending of New Blood.
Okay. So, yeah. Got it.
So this whole resurrection season is just like, I'm watching my whole life flash before my eyes as he's in the hospital.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right. Okay. All right. That's a smart way to bring people in, you know? I'm pretty sure I saw some other stuff, but whatever. We'll get to it later. And with that, we're going to be jumping back into 1994, where video games were nowhere near as advanced as this movie's fucking proposing. That's with 1994's Brain Scan, a movie which I could not find the budget for some reason, directed by John Flynn and written by Brian Owens and Andrew Kevin Walker, starring are like he's like essential.
What would you call him? Essentials? Angsty?
He's like not pivotal, not essential, like the ultimate angsty preteen almost, because.
But we know this kid, obviously.
Yeah. And we're for a long time. So this was his fourth movie, Brain Scan. Terminator 2 is his first movie. Which is weird, because it's just like. He was up there.
But the kid can't act. The kid can't act.
He can, and he sort of, because like this is not doing a whole lot in this movie.
But I mean, in Terminator 2, he's like great, obviously. But I'm like, what are we doing, Edward? Sorry, continue.
No, that's fine. No. I'm like, as I was rewatching this, and I've seen this one a bit, back in the day. But like, as I was rewatching, it's kind of like I was watching for the first time again. I'm just like, he's given a different performance. I mean, I understand his performance because for his character, he's Michael.
Yeah,
he's a very broken character.
Yes,
and that's what he's supposed to be giving.
Yeah,
but it also looks like he's not trying. I guess he's just hanging out.
Well, based on like a very quick like comment or something about what the director said about him, I was like, oh, that makes sense. And it was on IMDb, so you can look it up. But it was like the director, John Flynn, right? He was like, he had an insanely frustrated time with working with Edward. Because he was like, the kid wouldn't wake up. He's like, I would be in his trailer smacking him to wake up and he'd roll on a set. I was like, that is exactly what he's giving in this movie.
Well, he's a fucking teenager. Oh,
he's like, yeah, he just doesn't want to do it. He's probably like, oh my God, I don't want to do another fucking movie. Like, it's like, dude,
you're your fourth.
Like, you have the most recognizable, one of the most recognizable faces of like kids in the 90s because of like Terminator 2. Like, come on.
Dude, he owned like between 1990 and 1995, he owned it. Like,
yeah.
After this one, there's, you know, I mean, movies come sparingly, but like, you know, it's still notable up until his 20s because what is it? Troy Rock City, Pecker, a bunch of other stuff. Oh, Pet Sematary, which is, oh, I love Pet Sematary.
Yes, we are.
I have to rewatching like it. I gotta think. I wonder, like, did you give it your all? Oh, whatever. We're
he did it at this point, but whatever.
All right. So, along with Edward Furlong, Frank Langella playing Detective Hayden, the Trickster, which is our guy that kind of like holds the movie together, T. Ryder Smith, Amy Hargreaves as Kimberly, and Jamie Marsh as Kyle. Amy Hargreaves, she's in a bunch of stuff actually, and I just didn't recognize her in this movie at all.
Is she Kimberly?
She's Kimberly, yeah. She's in like a bunch of TV. If you see photos of her now, you'd be like, her?
Okay.
And she is, I think she's in her 20s or like early 20s or like 19 when she filmed this, because she's a few years older than Edward Furlong, and Edward Furlong was only like 17 when he filmed this, something like that. Yeah. So, yeah. And so with that, the movie is based on a boy, Michael, played by Edward Furlong, who essentially is very broken by the traumatic events of losing his mother in a car crash. He has then led him, which has led him to an unhealthy relationship, or seemingly unhealthy relationship. This is another gripe I'm going to have with this fucking movie in a second.
Yeah, I know you're
With
touch on
horror
it.
films and games. For him, he's done it all, he's played it all, and the bloodier, the better. And then that leads him to a game that nobody has played, that is the most intense game, called Brain Scan, and things kind of unravel as the lines between reality and virtual reality kind of bleed through. So that's my really shitty synopsis as I hodgepodge my notes together.
Yeah,
But
and look,
yeah.
you're the expert of this film because you did pick it. I do want to say I will it's overall a fun watch, and I do think that they at that time in 1994 there was definitely that craze of like video games are so bad and they're so violent and they're tearing our children's minds apart. So I guess I will applaud them on like taking that like turn into the movie and try to let you know it's a good idea. I like it. I like the idea behind it.
Well, I don't like the idea because see, it's the argument that's happened time and time again when horror comics came out, the EC comics, like whatever, in the 70s or the 80s or what have you, and they were super violent and grim. It's the same thing with Satanic Panic, where it was just like this metal music's just gonna leave these kids to just, conjure Satan. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I mean,
Well, of
and
course, I agree with you, but I'm saying it's a fine idea for a movie.
yeah, I guess, but I just don't like the way I guess it doesn't kind of give it to you in the end, where like at the end he realizes that, like, I guess I love life and these horror
Yeah.
movies are bad and I'm just gonna, go outside and play baseball or some bullshit. Like, they didn't give you that sort of, so they didn't argue against it. But I mean, he's also a kid. Like, his friend Kyle is as into this stuff as he is. And from what we can understand, his friend isn't broken traumatically. Like,
No, his friend's like a little punk rocker.
yeah.
Like
So
a,
what the fuck?
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, he does give a good argument in the movie. He's where the teacher, Dr. Fromberg, is just being like, are you gonna go out there and smoke a marijuana cigarette and rape somebody? And he's
yeah.
just like, well,
Watch a bunch of porn.
yeah. He was saying that. He's just like, yeah, I don't, cigarettes don't rape people, people rape people. I'm like, yeah, it's understood, that's fine.
Yeah.
The same argument with guns. All right, whatever. As you were saying, initial thoughts, Courtney, aside from the,
Well,
because you are, the reason it gets to me is because it's a very Christian right wing argument
yes.
towards, and I've also gotten it, and maybe you've gotten it too growing up. There's like, why do you like this stuff? This stuff is dark and gruesome, and I'm just like, it's just escape, it's just fun, you know?
So I guess maybe I enjoyed it from that from the point of view where like they were tackling it, that they were like oh my God, like what if it was real? What if you entered a video game and you were actually killing somebody?
Yeah.
I guess that is like what I enjoyed about it, where I was like, okay, cool idea. But as of course we don't know, we are emotionally stable people, but maybe it's, like I don't know words to try to get at, but the effects of like 80s parenting, and as we know, and even 90s parenting, where parents were like, I don't know what my kid's doing ever. But nonetheless, I enjoyed it. I finally realized that like I'd seen bits and pieces of this movie over time, like month, like many of other horror movies. And so seeing finally the trickster and being like, oh, this is the movie where I'm seeing this face from all over the place. And then also realizing that like this movie gave me Little Monsters vibe. Like if you were like I'm a huge fan of Little Monsters, and I feel like the next version that you go to would be like this movie, like Little Monsters for kids, and then preteens you watch Brain Scan.
Yeah, like I want to say, like, this movie's like barely a rated R movie. Like, it wants to act like it's a big bad movie, and I thought it was way bloodier, way more violent from the beginning. But like, no, like, yeah, they give you a lot of like horror content and horror, like, paraphernalia in the movie itself, but like, yeah. And then Trickster, who's played by T. Riley Smith, looks menacing, and he looks like a Freddy knockoff.
Yeah.
And he's super charismatic, but like, nothing horrific about it. He just looks, he has like a little bit of that uncanny valley feeling, because he looks like a person, but not really a fucking person. But right, but regardless, Michael Broken and Loving Horror Movies comes across this movie Brain Scan, and apparently they know more about him than he does. They send him the game. He plays the game in the first part, in four parts. And this, and also Michael has like the coolest fucking bed. That's the other thing about these movies.
These kids, like, are the coolest bedroom. Always,
coolest fucking bedroom. Coolest. And I'm like, it's a,
we
it's
never a whole, had that shit.
He has an apartment, is yeah. what it is.
He just lives like above, yeah, above the garage or something. Again, parent, the dad, I know he lost his mother. Yes, it's tragic. Parents nowhere to be found. Kid's a bit of a creep. You know he's a loner. But
I had no idea. I don't even remember him losing. I remember most of this movie, but like the whole mother backstory completely.
Well, that's why he has like the leg limp, which he does. You do see him use it sometime.
Yeah, I was like, is it there? Is it? Especially like, in the beginning of the movie. It gets worse and worse.
He's fine.
It's like they started shooting the movie and then they were like halfway through, like, hey, add a limb.
Yeah, director's like, dude, you have a limb. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Maybe it's because I have no idea. Actually, no idea. Also, he's got a fucking AI digital assistant, like, on his computer. So, yeah, Igor? I don't know if this. Yeah. So I don't know if he's like a tech genius or his parents just paid or his father just paid for all this stuff. Or maybe his father is a tech genius.
Maybe.
And that's why he has all this stuff. They don't really give you that. They do live in Mountain View, which I believe is maybe not far from Silicon Valley.
That was supposed to be like in Pennsylvania, this movie.
Well, there is a Mountain View in California, but let me see how far it is from. I mean.
But nonetheless, we're supposed to believe, why you look that up. Yes, this kid is highly traumatized because of the loss of his mother, and he has this limp leg. So he just sits up in his really cool fucking bedroom, like who wouldn't, and plays video games and creeps on his neighbor.
Yeah. And he's a fucking pervert.
Pervert. Pervert, pervy little kid. And we're just supposed to like kind of accept it because we're... At the end, we kind of believe that she's also a creep, I guess.
At the end, yeah. I mean, well, the whole little, like...
Their end dialogue had me laughing.
I was like, wait a minute. She's just playing hard to get? Or is he just coming off, like, super aggressive? So she's just like, I liked you, but now I'm talking to you. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but then it was like, but she has pictures of me. So like she must take pictures of me. So we're both like, it was weird because at first he's like, not like we're, oh, sorry, we're skipping into the movie, but he's like,
that's okay.
I just want you to know that like, will you go out with me? And she goes, no, I won't. And then takes it back and he's like, well, so that's a maybe. And she's like, yeah, I guess it's a maybe. He's like, well, maybe is better than a no. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, it's not. Bro, no, it's not. Take the no and move on. Girl's going to be breadcrumbing you for life.
No, yeah. So Mountain View is Silicon Valley. So they kind of like sprinkle in, and maybe that's why he, I mean, they could have gone into that more, you know.
Yeah, they could have. Maybe they'd explain it a little bit more.
But, you know, I guess maybe that they could have given you that because we kind of want to know why he's got all this crazy tech.
Yeah, because he does. Like, his virtual assistant's so funny.
That's fucking great. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Mei Ling paid that off. She's like,
well, look at you two now.
One in a million.
So Edgar, it's like that. It is like seeing a Dumb and Dumber. He's like, where she's like, yeah, one in a million. And he's like, so you're telling me there's a chance? And he's like, you didn't get it.
But he's super excited. He was totally into it.
He's like, oh my God, so you said maybe. Hooray. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, maybe I'm a little too cynical and have been dating for too long. But like, no. Like, that's a no.
In your world, a maybe's a no. In a guy's mind, a maybe's a maybe.
Yeah, it's like, no.
She did kiss him on the lips, so maybe
she did give him a little kiss, but I was just like, and that's when he's like, sees the pictures of him. That, like, apparently she's taken or whatever. I'm like, okay, whatever. Teenagers, here we go.
Yeah, really. Yeah, also, yeah, teenagers. But she also in dressed in front of him. That's why I was like, wait a minute, how old is this girl supposed to be? So I'm
Yeah.
like, that's why I had to like look it up. I was like, oh.
I know, you're like, I feel weird. I don't like this.
I was like, this might be, yeah.
Like, 'cause they go right into it. I'm like, he's just creeping on his neighbor. And immediately I was like, oh, fucking perverted kid playing video games. Okay, got it. Like, we're
But
supposed to be rooting for this guy.
he does acknowledge that he is a pervert.
Yeah, I do.
But
He
that
does.
just
He's
plays into,
self-aware.
but that plays into the trope, right? Because that plays
Yeah.
into the trope was like, oh, these kids that love horror movies and play violent video games, they're all just perverts
Yes.
watching porn all day and with cum crust on their pants walking around. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. But I mean, regardless, moving on. In the 90s, the most popular games were nowhere near as advanced as this, as they, like I said, as the
Correct.
movie fucking proposes.
But we had like
The best.
we had Mortal Kombat.
We had Mortal Kombat. We had a Killer Instinct. They looked fine. We also had like Super Mario Brothers. That's as good as it's gonna get at that time. So the creative, the aesthetic and creative approach to basically make it just look like film and the first person perspective, great. I love it. You're saving a bunch of money. You don't need to do any fancy effects, any digital pixelation that some other movies chose to do, hence like Lawnmower Man, which came out 2 years after this, which is so much budget spent on the digital effects. You're just basically like, yeah, we're just going to tell you you're in the game. This is the game. It looks like real life. That's how advanced it is. Perfect. Love it. Keep going. You can do that. You can do that now. No problem. You save so much money. Now, since then, been a slew of movie to game adaptations. And the only reason I've mentioned this is because this year we're getting the Until Dawn release, which is supposed to be like the next big horror movie game movie adaptation. And actually it has like a pretty meta approach. Like at first people were really, really upset. They were like, how are they going to do this? Because the whole basis of this Until Dawn is basically that you're kind of like in a horror game and you're gonna have to make all these decisions. And you're just like, if not one, all these decisions just lead you to one horror trope after another. So they're really playing into that. And it looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun. And since then, or before then, we haven't had a whole lot of great horror movie adaptations. Silent Hill, Resident Evil, stuff like that. I mean, there are some cult followings for these movies, but like there's like 10 Resident Evil movies. And, from what I understand, the games are way scarier than the movies. The movies at this point are just kind of like tropes of themselves or parodies of themselves almost.
I mean, I think we can all
So
agree that the first one rules.
the first one's fine. I've
I
never
love.
seen the first. I mean, I was also never really into those games, but like,
Me
but I've
either, but I
seen.
really like the first Resident Evil.
Hold on a second. Let's see here.
I always remember the scene with the lasers where the guy gets chopped up.
That was probably the most memorable scene, but it's also like the first kill of the movie.
It is.
Nailed it. Let's see here. And also since then, this is kind of a genre into itself, right? It's been played out in movies, been played in games, like the video game trope. Everybody's pretty much done it. FBI, X-Files has an episode of this. So does Twilight Zone. Which one call it? One of the most notable ones, Black Mirror. They had the episode Playtest, which is I think star Kurt Russell's son, Wade Russell, or whatever the fuck his guy's
Wyatt
name is.
Russell.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's the augmented reality one, which is like super
That's a good
creepy.
one.
That's a good one, you know?
Ooh, and Black Mirror's coming back, which I'm excited about because I'm like, what are they going to come with that we aren't already experiencing in real life?
Which, like, the man. Yes. Well,
Yes.
the only reason I, because there was a lot of memes going around saying that Black Mirror wasn't making any new episodes because we were living in Black Mirror. Like,
Fucking feel
so,
like it.
but I guess it was just a thing because yeah, new season's gonna get released and this year it's gonna be great. I think they might be going back to an episode like I forgot which Enterprise was, the super, not the super, the Starship one. I hope
That's a
so.
great one. I can't remember the episode name, but that is a great episode.
I think they might be like doing a sequel to that one, which would be really, really cool.
Because that's a
But yeah.
video game one.
Yeah,
Yeah,
nailed
that's
it.
the game one. Yeah.
back in the day, Are You Afraid of the Dark? I had like three, I think, game horror episodes. One of them, the one was like this virus that was like infecting, that was played by this small person with this giant brain. The Pinball Wizard one was really, really good because they didn't use any special effects. They just made a mall look like a pinball game and he just had to climb the levels. That was super, super fun. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was like whatever Nickelodeon show was where you would like do the obstacle course.
Yeah. Yes. It was the end. This just leads into like the bigger genre of tech and horror, right? Which we're not touching right now. We're only touching.
We don't have time.
We don't got time. So Michael gets the game brain scan. All right. The weird part is that he's on the phone with brain scan, and then they said that they're going to give him a special disc that's personalized to his personality and traits or whatever. And then he's basically like negging on him, Edward Furlong, Michael. And then he has like a seizure in the middle of it where I guess like brain scan, like gives him a scan. I don't know how, from the sky above, which is just like, what?
He gets a brain scan.
Yeah. Doesn't explain it at all.
And he's chosen, I guess. That's like the point. Like, you're the chosen one.
Yeah. And then they think they were, then brain scan chooses like, you're going to be playing Death by the Design. And then they send him the disc and he plays it. And he has two hours to play the first part where he has to find a victim and he has to murder it and he has to leave no evidence or whatever, which is great.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
And then he wakes up with 15 minutes left on the screen and he basically looks like he's in ecstasy, like he just nutted all over the place. And Edward Furlong, for the majority of this movie, is very sweaty. Like,
yes,
TV, like movie, like sprayed on sweat.
Yes. And sort of like constantly misting him. Like,
a little weird.
He's just so taken aback and like passionate about brain scan.
And then Edward finds out in the news the next day that somebody has been murdered. It is a quiet Mountain View neighborhood. And then he finds trophy that he chose, which is kind of fucking weird that he had to choose a trophy of the foot in his fridge. And that's where we introduce the Trickster character, who's great. Amazing.
Trickster, no notes. He's great.
No notes.
He carries the fucking film.
It makes this move. Because you know who's not carrying this fucking film? Edward Furlong. Because he gives such a fucking detached performance throughout this fucking movie.
Yes.
Where he's just like, I mean, I guess for like, unless he was trying to just like.
But I think that was truly what he was doing in real life. Like, I don't think it was any performance. Just based on what the director said about him, I think this kid was just rolling out of bed and being like, I'm gonna act today. And like, I don't think there was much acting other than remembering what he needed to say.
He's method acting. He's just
truly a just detached teenager, unless it's like, there's the chick I like. That's the only time he ever like looked alive. Like, look alive, man. Boops.
Just like, dude, a method acting. Can't you see him like,
I'm gonna win my Oscar for brain scan.
Because he's looking at the camera like that. He's just going over and over again. He's just looking like that.
He's so boring. That's what I mean. Like, he's not boring in every film. I know he's capable of it, but in this one, I'm just like, dude, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah.
Your friend's more interesting.
Dude, I understand that you lost your mother and it's a traumatic event. You feel like shit. You're trying to escape. You're trying to fill that void because I wouldn't have known what I've done at that time had I lost my mother. Like, I probably would be all sorts of fucked up. But still, you also have like everything. Like, you got a moped or you got a scooter. You have endless technology seeming at your fingertips, and it's only 1994. You have, and I mean, maybe it's also his dad just buying all this stuff for him because to help him cope, because you know he knows that
his son is deeply detached parenting, just being like, maybe I just buy him everything and he'll be fine.
But also, like, it's You think my mom would have left me alone at fucking 17 by myself in a house and be like, oh, I just gotta go on a business trip. I'll see you in like 2 weeks. You know, like, here's money for the food. Like, get out of here. No way. She would have paid somebody to be there with me at all times. You know,
especially given the circumstances. Yes.
Especially in these circumstances, knowing that your son is best like, fucking fucked up.
You'd be like, have Aunt Susie come over for the couple weeks while you're gone. That would make
sense. Yeah. Trickster explains to Michael, the layout of the game, that what's the difference between real and not real, that it was that it's murder, it's death, that it's ecstasy, it's great, and that he has to move on to the second part of the game, that he has to get rid of the witness or he loses the game and potentially goes to jail, which is weird though, because he's sort of like egging him on, but he knows Michael knows he's not supposed to do this. But he does it anyway, and I don't really understand why he moves on to the second part. And I also think they also don't know why they move on to the second part, because the second part doesn't take place.
Right.
The witness part two.
No. There's no way. Yeah.
We don't see what happens.
No.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're just like, you know what you have to do now, kill the witness. And I was like, wait, we do? I got lost. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Yes.
The trickster's just tricking him into committing more murder, and things just unravel and get worse for Michael. And now he has no other choice than to proceed to part three, which is the evidence, and he has to get rid of the evidence. And at this point, Frank Langella, who plays Detective Hayden, who's the guy I talked to you about before, in the Dracula movie, he plays Dracula in the 1978 version. And look at you with these rosy cheeks getting, yeah.
I see. He's a Dracula.
He's the vampire you want to fuck.
Oh, okay. Now he's the sexy detective. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I think he's sexy in this movie at all, but like.
That's what some people were saying. He's just like, you're giving this fucking amazing actor nothing to do with this movie right now.
Really, he's very forgettable. I'm like, oh yeah, the detective, but it was just like, get out of here, kid.
Dude.
Dead.
I'm like,
and I'm gonna shoot a kid. I'm like, what are we doing?
You got a Porsche and you just leave it in the garage is what you're doing right now.
Yes. Like, yes. You're and not at the end, man.
Spoiler alert for a movie that's fucking 30 plus years old, at the end where he's just like, murderer.
I'm murderer. Like, really? I was like,
that's what you got?
We couldn't give him any direction, director? Like, you got a good actor.
Fuck. That's what upset me. Part two, maybe it's because it was like one teen murdering another teen and they left it out of the movie. I'm not really sure.
Really know if it was supposed to add to the suspense or anything about like not seeing any of the kills really on camera. But that's why, like when I said in the beginning where I was like, if this feels like if
you
like Little Monsters. What?
Are you gonna call? I saw a phone ringing.
No. I'm okay. Okay. It's okay. We'll edit it out. But what I would go back to saying is, like, I don't know why we don't see any of the kills on screen. And that's why it almost makes it think, like, yes, this is definitely much more of a teen movie. So if you liked Little Monsters, which I did, and I know you did, we are both big fans of that movie. But that's why I got such a Little Monsters vibe from it, especially with Trickster. Like, Trickster and then Howie Mandel's character in Little Monsters. I was like, it's like the same thing. But, like, now you're just... We're one level up. We're going from kid movie, we're going to teen movie. Like,
yeah, I don't know why this movie was all right. We're going. This movie's not bad. We're shitting on it a lot, but the movie's still not bad. Between parts two, three, and four, there is a little bit of a lag where after a while, I'm just like, they really needed to edit this. They really needed to chop this up a little bit.
Punch it up
a little bit more tighter. Yeah, punch it up a little bit, because I'm like, this movie's taking a little bit while. We need to get to the And you get to the end in a little bit. All right. So Michael plays the third disc to get rid of the evidence. But at this point, there is a neighborhood watch and there are volunteers all over Mountain View. And so now you are watching Michael play the game, but you forget that he's playing the game because he's not in some sort of trance. He's just fucking stumbling around fucking the neighborhood, which is like,
so
they made it, yeah, they made it seem like he was sort of like this weirdly, like really weird stealthy killer in the first part where he pulls the murder. We have the gloves, mm-hmm. right? Because it made it look like he was a first person video game or whatever. But now you're just seeing him play and you don't forget that he's like in this sort of trance being hypnotized. And he's just bumbling around. He's just, I know, like,
it is really funny. He's just like,
yeah, I guess it's, yeah, I thought he was supposed to be like this different person playing the game almost. Whatever.
Well, I also thought at some point it was going to be the actual like trickster character that was the killer within.
That would have been cool.
Like, that probably would have been cool. That would have been a punch up.
Yeah.
Versus like just seeing the fact that we are interacting with Trickster and Michael. I thought at the end it was going to be like, oh, the trickster was the version that was like killing everything. And that was like your character, like choose your character. And that's why.
Perfect. The avatar. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just wasn't.
Good idea. Was not that.
Was not, right, this was not okay. That movie. And I'm like.
So, but it's weird though, because, all right, so he's stumbling around. He's evading the neighborhood watch. He accidentally kills. I thought he accidentally killed his teacher or his principal or whatever, because his principal catches him in the construction site and a bunch of bricks fall on him. And I don't know why you would have a bunch of bricks really high up, like
for
on
this
a scaffolding.
Reason. This reason.
Yeah, for this reason. To fall on somebody.
Yeah.
For he evades them long enough for basically to leave the cop that was following him to run them into the neighborhood watch. And then a gunfight ensues, killing the police officer, leaving Detective Hayden to tell the police watch or the neighborhood watch to be like, which one of you is going to tell his wife? You know, and then he walks away. And then Michael is able to get home at the last second. He comes out of the trance, and then you see him and he comes out of the trance and he has no idea what the fuck had happened. And then my thing is that what I was getting to was that the trickster's like, you were magnificent. He was fucking bumbling around. He barely fucking made it. He was not slick at all.
The trickster was being a trickster.
Performance.
No, the trickster was just trying to like, you know, rope him into like keeping doing it. But I was like, trickster, this kid sucks. Get a new kid.
Yeah. I mean, Trickster also called the cops on him. So he's kind of funny.
I don't really know what Trickster's up to, but he's Trickster. It's his name. It's fine.
Yeah, that's his name. Which leads us to part four, where Trickster, as he's telling him that he did a magnificent job, that there was another witness, because we did see Kimberly watch Michael come back into his house after the shooting. Which, why was Michael out? You know, was there a curfew or something? Where were we? You know, which, all right, that is an example of a witness. Like, and now Trickster's telling him that he has to kill Kimberly. And this is the part where I'm saying that it could have been edited a little bit, because Michael spends a whole day lamenting that he has to kill Kimberly, as opposed to at the beginning of the movie, where he was very, very torn between him moving on to part two. Now he has no problem moving on to part four, you know, where he's got to kill again. And this would have been his third kill. Just like, he just
breathes it through.
I don't want to kill my friend, but.
But I feel better.
Yeah, now he just eats it.
But
so
then
he sneaks into the house. Well, again, you've seen him bumbling. Yeah, he walks into Kimberly's house. He plays part
bumbling
four.
Around.
He tears open the screen door. No gloves. Bumbling around, leaving fingerprints everywhere. All of a sudden, you know, like no man. Like, all right. Like, the whole point of the game was to be in the killer's shoes. Mm. Act like the killer. Don't get caught. You're fucking up, kid. Super messy. Not the way I would.
Game over. You suck at this.
You suck at this ever for long. So then things come to a head. Kimberly wakes up. Kimberly's like, I love you. I love you. Snap out. Snap out. Michael and the trickster have sort of have a face to face, and trickster unveils to Michael that he is him, which is, I mean, I guess we all saw it coming, right? Whatever. Just that Trickster was his subconscious or whatever, or his ego, you know, manifested in digital format, whatever. And then they sort of have a fight, which is, for 1994, the effects where Trickster's eating Edward Michael,
that's
super
cool.
Fucking dope.
Yeah, I
it
like
looks it. Pretty cheesy sometimes, but like it like the restoration, it looks really, really, even though you know it's just whatever, just being digital files being warped, whatever, it still looks pretty, pretty fucking cool. In the deleted scenes,
oh, I didn't know
there's as opposed to after they melt together and Edward Furlong just sort of has like a half the face,
yeah,
like
it's
Trickster,
like
or whatever,
it's supposed to be like a maybe like a scarred Trickster face or something, yeah.
Yeah, with the Trickster eyes, the green, light green Trickster eyes or whatever.
The contacts.
It was supposed to be like a melded The Thing version.
That would have been cooler.
Kind of fucking cool because it's two faces and like eight limbs and it crawls.
Gross.
It crawls out on top of the bed, but they didn't really know how it was going to. See, like they toned down, like, I feel like they toned down a lot of the stuff they wanted to do with this book.
Maybe they didn't want to like scare people too much, but then. I don't know. Bummer.
I mean, whatever. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know, because like, we go back to the whole video game thing and then like what that time too where like it's maybe they played it safe, like many people or studios will do to make money, but then I don't think this movie made money. I think it was very much a disaster, a flop.
Probably the reason I can't find the budget, because this movie only made about $4.3 million.
And it probably cost more than that.
That apartment cost more than that.
Yeah.
Sweet apartment.
Because they're,
super sweet.
That was really cool.
He has a kitchen in his room. Like,
he never has to leave his room, which is very apparent by the way he acts.
He has a whole Cornish hen in his fridge.
Yes. Just gonna make myself a Cornish hen tonight for dinner in my room. It's a studio apartment.
He has a whole other mansion, Mick Mansion, that he can go into that we never explore. You know. Whatever. Regardless. All right, fine.
We have to move on.
Fun. So there was supposed to be a thing monster, but in the real version, we get is much more subdued. Apparently, the power of love, or Kimberly's love, kind of knocks Michael out of it. The two bodies split, and now the ending we get is Trickster opening up the door as Detective Hayden comes in and shoots Michael dead. Michael loses the game as he wakes up in his awesome fucking apartment and realizes that he's only in part one of the game. And it's only been 2 hours and not a whole week has passed. And he didn't commit any murders. And it's all been just a VR experience.
Yes.
The ending to a lot of movie games or whatever.
Yeah. He didn't experience any, man. There's still time to get out.
That's fine. Michael realizes that, you know, by going to the extreme, that he'd much rather just, you know, live life. He gets rid of all, he destroys all of his horror paraphernalia. He destroys his AI assistant, which is like, Igor didn't do anything.
Igor didn't deserve that.
Igor wasn't holding you back, buddy. Just like,
that wasn't an Igor problem.
It's not so. And he decides to reunite with his friend Kyle, who has not been murdered by Michael. And they go to Kimberly's party, where he asks Kimberly out in a very awkward moment.
Very infamous. She says,
which is very realistic.
Yes.
Let's give you that.
You know what? Good for him having the courage to be like you said, I'm here to live life. And I'm going to go ask the girl out that I like, because no time like the now. It's just the weirdest fucking response, but it's very teenage, awkward. Like, sure, I don't want to hurt your feelings, so maybe.
But that's fine. I mean, I guess maybe also, maybe I didn't want to hurt your feelings because you are in my bedroom and I don't
know
how
you're going to. You're in my bedroom. Yeah. And so she was just thinking like, hey, for safety reasons, this is the weird neighbor that I also spy on. So yeah, maybe I'll go out with you. And then he like runs kicking and screaming, like, you should maybe go out with me. And you're like, okay.
Fair. And that is brain scan.
That's the end. She'll maybe go out with me. Like, she never will, but cute. Keep dreaming, kid.
But he didn't let it get him down.
No, you he know, didn't.
That's what you gotta do.
You didn't
that's
let fair. Get
that's
down.
What I always, you know, that's what
he's
you gotta learn. Be like, don't
stalk
just
her
move
more.
On.
He's gonna get worse, though. I don't.
And with that, we have alternative endings that I made up for this episode. Let's go this. This is going to be a little bit of like an adjacent horror movie mashup. Let's go right here. All right.
Okay. Alternate endings that you made up for this episode.
Would have been great. Between, all right, proposed, right? Between parts 3 and 4, after the evidence and he finds out there's a second witness, broken by the fact that he has to kill Kimberly. Kimberly comes knocking on his door to fix the broken relationship because there's a whole plot where Kimberly sort of like leaked an interview to the local newspaper, school newspaper, about how Michael felt about Kyle's death, yada, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
So she comes knocking in on his door, but he's broken. He no longer needs the game to kill and now kills willingly without the game. And now
so he just murders Kimberly.
Yeah. And now he just becomes a murderer.
You That's know? Fun. Okay.
Not bad. Not bad. Bad.
Grim, but not bad.
Oh yeah, these are all dark ending. Yeah, yeah. Because I think this needed it because they tried to give you a dark ending.
But okay.
But they play the it's just a game version, right?
Yes, it's just a game. Yeah.
It isn't a game, right?
Okay.
This is the alternative made up ending part two, right? Trickster convinces Michael to commit all these murders. Michael gets killed in the game. Game over for Michael. Trickster just moves on to another lonely teenager in another city, creating just a series of serial killers in small towns across America.
That one's my favorite so far.
Not bad.
I like that. I like giving Trickster more of a story, more of an identity.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he's great, but he's used sparingly.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
used. You know, but we could always use a little bit more Trickster, right? Part three, after Michael asks Kimberly out and she says no, and he walks over to see the picture she took of him. But she, instead of finding pictures, she finds like a little bit of a shrine. Kimberly walks in on Michael, freaks out. Kimberly's the murderer, kills Michael.
That's weird, a good
right
twist.
Weird turn. Would have been fun for no reason.
Like Kimberly's playing the video game the whole time?
Even better. Sure.
Okay. So yeah, it was never Michael, is it Kimberly is playing the video game. And, I still like the Trickster version. I like the Trickster version.
Yeah, because then you got just a bunch of, then you got a lot of story.
Because no, then you got yeah, sequels, Kimberly, baby.
There you go. Boom.
Boom. Franchise. I mean, Trickster was already trying to be like Freddy Krueger anyway.
This is why this movie seems scarier in the 90s is because he does look like a Freddy knockoff. Other than that, what would this look like now if they remade it? Which I'm really surprised they haven't, or they can't, because it's just like there are already too many approaches at this. Like,
we've already got too many Jumanjis. So maybe they're like, maybe we shouldn't.
And I was trying to figure it out. Like, what would this look like?
I would be interested in seeing what they could do with it today, though. Like, you could make a horror movie and actually it'd be scary.
Because you already have a lot of
formulas
VR
there.
Stuff. Yeah, I guess you have all these elements. Like, you could, but you already have like weird rogue AI, which essentially that's what Trickster is. He's just. Unless he's supposed to be some sort of weird, because you don't know what he is. You don't know if he's a demonic presence.
Oh my God, there is like a sci-fi, it's called Debug.
Yeah.
It stars none other than the lovely Jason Momoa, where he actually is like the killer and he's like this virtual, it's weird. It's weird. I think it came out like 2009, 2010. It's an old one. Old, or before he got big. Like he is now.
Oh, I remember this
poster. Did you just look it up?
Yeah. Oof, a 4.3 on IMDb, 24%, and 2.8 out of 5. 51% of Google users like this movie. In comparison to this movie, 90% of Google users liked Brain Scan. So this is where this is. Are we doing this next? Did you want to do this?
Okay, you know what? Let's do debug. Why not? Let's go. It's been a while since we've touched on some Momoa content.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Okay, so you heard it first, guys. We're doing debug next. I need to rewatch it anyway. You know, but I'm always very critical of him because I think the man can do better.
We can all do better.
We can all do better. But at the same time, I give him 100% because he tries. He tries, and you can tell, and you know he's trying. It's not like he's showing up in like Mr. fucking Edward in this movie where he rolls out of bed and is just like, wanna. Jason Momoa gives 100% every single time. He does.
All right. Well, let's see. The premise of this movie by lovely Google is that the premise of Debug is, while working on a derelict freighter in outer space, six young hackers fall prey to a ship's artificial intelligence, a program that would kill to become human.
And then Jason is like, he's the computer in this one, in that one. And he's actually not in it too much.
He's got short hair.
He's got short hair. Yeah. Short hair, Momoa.
So if he's the AI.
He's the AI, yeah. It's not completely spoiling it, like, but he is the AI character.
So as the AI, he chose to give himself a goatee in this movie.
He's got an interesting look. It's not like the Momoa we know today.
I mean, it's the same goatee. I'm just saying, like, in the story, your AI, your computer chose to give yourself facial.
Wait till you see his outfit.
All right. So, guys, I hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on all the socials, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, what have you.
We appreciate it. We love doing this.
Any final thoughts, Courtney, on
Brain Scan? Okay. To round it up, look, I liked it. I mean, I don't know if I'll be rewatching it anytime soon, but to see a movie that I truly had not seen fully through, I enjoyed it. And it was a fun time. The trickster's great. Like, I think you made a good choice. I was pleasant. It's an hour and a half, 90 minutes. Horror fan. It's a good one. It's a B-movie classic.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of cult following. No sequels, which is weird.
It is, but a little...
Like, it's, all of this technology is very prevalent now. So I'm like, you could make something now. Or would it just be, like, too gimmicky? Or would it be, like... not accurate, because just technology is just advancing so crazy now. We're just like, it would be dated, I guess. Like, this movie doesn't seem that dated.
It doesn't,
because you're just hypnotizing somebody and they think they're in a game. Aside from the CRT Igor thing, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just watch it once if you can.
Yeah, it's fun. It's free. It's not Tubi. Just go watch it.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time.